That's the real color of my teeth, sees.
We have a new one.
Wow. I thought mine is the best.
Because you have, like, Joker qualities.
My teeth yellow.
I'm still gonna do that. That one's by far the most alarming.
I just love that there's almost as many pictures as there are movies about the Joker, you know?
Well, God bless FiveFan Photoshop. He's been supplying me with many, many Joker-related pictures for going back to the Red Eye days. And you know I saved them. And why did we show them today? Why?
Well, because, unless you've been living under a rock.
That's painful.
It is. Or if you're a bat in a cave. See what I did there?
I'm out of here. Catch you later.
They just released the trailer for the new Joker movie starring Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
Although it's not coming out for another year and a half, I think.
I didn't even notice that. Is that true?
Yeah, I think it's like fall of 2020.
The fuck? I know they just wrapped. That's an industry term for ending the film.
The trailer looks so good.
I love that you mentioned that because I don't think it looks that great.
It says October 4th this year.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. Not too long.
Well, you know why I'm excited about this is because you pitched it.
Yeah.
I purposely did not put it on the little list I was making because I knew you didn't want to talk about it.
Because I knew you were going to want to.
All right.
I feel like it's something we can all discuss.
I was so excited. You inspired that intro.
Everyone has opinions or ideas about
You things. Thought it was good, huh?
I liked it. Well, here's my only issue with it. It's an origin story film, right? So it's about the Joker before he became the Joker, which, you know, so many of these now standalone superhero films are.
Yeah.
But I didn't see enough of, like, the menacing person.
Right.
Like, the trailer is about 2 minutes, and I think a minute 30 is... And usually now, these days, with the trailer, you see the whole film. I mean, the way that they're making trailers now, like, you see all the best parts in the trailer. So I just feel like there was a lot of me just feeling bad for him, and like, oh, wow, you have a really shitty upbringing.
You can sum up the entire... trailer in getting beat up, makeup, getting beat up, kick downstairs, makeup, beat
sad
up.
Sad clown,
yeah. Not menacing clown, sad clown. And goddamn, I'm sick of the origin stories, man. I mean, not everything needs to be explained to people. Well, I don't know. Well, how do you want to do this? You want to wait for our guests to see the trailer? You want to show it now? It's your call since you're the
Let's
DC
Let's show it
fan.
Now if we're talking Let's about it and people haven't seen it.
Arthur, by the way,
does it help?
I don't even like Gotham.
You dress like him, by the way.
My mother always tells me to smile.
It's Asshole Thursday. Ugh, I forgot about his mom. Oh, that explains
She told me I had a purpose. To bring
I bet he dropped like 30 pounds for the role, man. He's just trying to bring laughter.
Ooh. Is it just me? Or is it getting crazier out there?
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky.
That's Arkham Asylum. That's where all the Batman baddies go. If you smile. Now, this is interesting.
Smile.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good call. Well, now...
It was Peter who told me that yesterday.
Very interesting. There's a Scorsese film called The King of Comedy that I'm wondering if...
What's so funny?
Freak. Yeah, beat up again. I thought I got my ass kicked. Jesus!
Gotham's lost its way. What kind of coward would do something that cold-blooded? Someone who hides behind a mask.
That guy was in.
Okay, right?
Ugh.
I used to think that my life was a tragedy. But now I realize it's a comedy.
please, one more shot of him getting run over by himself.
Yeah.
If you just
You know, like, I wanted to see a little more. Maybe they'll show it in the movie. But two takeaways from this. First, I think you should wear vests. I think we need to bring vests back.
Okay. I will do that. I used to wear sweater vests a lot, and then even I couldn't pull that off anymore.
Okay. But, you know, like a...
Even I was embarrassed in me.
And also, did I miss this in the past about the Joker? But what's up with the showing off the rib cage?
That's a new development.
Like, he does that he does that three different times where he's just like, is that just Phoenix trying to show off how skinny he is?
Yes.
It's like what women do when we're like sucking in, you know?
Wait, no, I'm not clear on this yet. I'm going to need more of a visual.
Like that.
One more time?
No, it hurt.
For the kids at home.
It hurt to do it.
I don't know why you had to do that expression.
Oh, my organs shifted.
You are a delicate person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing with the Joker is, half the reason he's so horrifying is you don't know anything about him. There's no motivation. There's no reason. There's no why. And now it's just being all spoon-fed to us. And the worst part is, we're now expected to sympathize with him.
Yeah.
Part of the reason he's so scary is that he is completely unsympathetic. Mm-hmm. And now we've all Scorsese'd it up. Interesting thing there, and I'm certainly not the first person to notice this, but Robert De Niro's in that movie, and it looks very much almost like he's playing the same character that he did in Kings of Comedy. Be very strange if there was some sort of like tie-in with that Scorsese world. Probably not. I don't know my words. But yeah, I don't... There was not a whole lot to it. I was disappointed.
This is the first trailer, so usually they do a few before the film comes out. So maybe the next one, we'll see a little bit more.
It was very fun for us, well, at least me, to watch them or watch daily updates of them filming in and around Manhattan. And it's interesting. Everything in that trailer is just like the shittiest parts of New York.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There was like nothing nice and glamorous about the old Big Apple and that thing. I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. I will say this, even though he seems to me to be a weird guy in real life, in Joaquin Phoenix, I trust. He's a pretty good actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
definitely.
I think if anyone could pull this off, it's him. But that's the other thing, too. Like, I remember, it was like back when I still had more of an investment in movies overall, I guess. I used to get more excited about stuff. But when Dark Knight, that first trailer hit, my chills had chills.
Yeah.
And also, I was terrified. Like, that Joker, Heath Ledger's Joker, was so mind-meltingly horrifying that the trailer is just like...
Well, and I think the thing is, like, from an actor's perspective, what makes it so horrifying, right, is, like, the villain or the wackadoo never thinks that they're evil.
Right. Yeah, I like
Do you
that.
Know? Like, mm-hmm. Their intentions are the most pure. What they think they are doing is right and just. So it's that idea of we're now going to see that justification, which I get what you're saying. Like, do we really... It's like pulling the wool off of my eyes.
I would like to.
That's not the right metaphor.
No, but I feel like you're giving me an open end.
Lifting the curtain.
That's good. I'll take lifting the curtain. I'd just like to take some wool and kind of rub it into your eyes.
Oh,
until
God, no! I'm allergic.
Just cotton poly for you.
Not really allergic.
But look at so like this guy's trying to, has got a lot and he's doing a lot. There's a lot of great lines in Dark Knight, but one of my favorite lines is one word. And it's just so great. And it's when we have, it's a very, very quick clip. It's when the Joker faces Harvey Dent after Harvey Dent had lost half his face. But all it is just this quick little thing. But like, this is how good Heath Ledger is. It's just high. That's all it is.
Hi.
That's it. And that is better than anything that I saw in the entire Joker trailer. But I'm optimistic.
Having one word to say, having a line that's one word, and I know from experience because most of my auditions are one word.
Well, you got a tiny brain.
And you will drive yourself crazy.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, how many different ways can I say hi? Do I want to show that I'm evil? Do I want to pretend it's business as usual? Am I being kind? Am I being sarcastic? So many motivations behind. I hate saying the word motivation. There's so many actions behind the single word. So,
do you do it in front of a mirror?
Sometimes I'll film myself on like my MacBook and then watch it back. Just because I think it's important to
be made
see how you look like when you're recorded.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would assume
so I can pick myself apart.
Exactly.
Destroy my self-confidence.
Before they do. But like, there's something to be said about the fact that oftentimes people overthink it if it's just one line. Yeah.
I think it's crap. It's not. It might be David Mamet. He's a playwright and a writer. I think he said, sometimes you just need to say the line and not think about it. And he's like, just trust that the playwright or the whoever wrote the script, like, it's good enough that you can just say it, you know?
Well, part of it, I'm not the smartest fellow in the world, but we had to read Mamet a little bit at Emerson. I forget what class it was, one that really resonated with me, as you can tell. But we would read, like, a Mamet play and then, like, go see it. It's like I was in
Glengarry, Glenn Ross.
No, it's Oleana, the one about sexual harassment.
Okay, yeah, I think that's it.
I forget the name of it, but I didn't understand any of it. Like his dialogue is the type that, unless you hear it come out of an actor's mouth, it was gobbledygook to me. I felt like I was going dyslexic. We did
because it's written how a person speaks.
Yeah.
So they say it's like Shakespeare. It's not meant to be read. It's meant to be performed and spoken aloud and with other actors.
Difficult. I had a hard time with it. You know what? I was worried because we hadn't had a lot of advertisers for a while. I think we got a new sponsor today. I'm very excited. And they actually provided us with their own video, so we don't even have to worry about the old words on the prompter.
Thank goodness.
Much like Mamet, I have difficulties with my ads.
And your T's.
And my T's. And don't get me started on the NG's. Good thing Gina wasn't here. He'd turn that into something racist. So this is basically something that doctors are recommending. Camel cigarettes.
Oh.
Camel cigarettes, ladies
and
gentlemen.
In a nationwide survey, doctors in all branches of medicine were asked, what cigarette do you smoke, doctor? The brand named most was Camel's. Tens of thousands of doctors, general practitioners, surgeons, specialists, doctors in every branch of medicine were included. And according to this nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Thank you, Camel.
Thank you, Camel. And you know what? Camels are especially good for pregnant women. It keeps your baby small.
Thank you very much. Want a difficult pregnancy? Don't smoke, okay? Camels make that baby look like some sort of chicken fetus. And that's what you want crapping out of your legs.
You know, that ad now makes me wonder about Trident gum. In the commercials, it always says Trident gum is the chosen gum 3 out of every 4 dentists.
Well, I mean, I believe dentists. I believe doctors. I used to be a Marlboro man. No more. Camel for me. I am a one hump chump. I apologize to America for that one. Anything else you want to get to before we bring it?
Yesterday, speaking of movies.
Oh, shit, I forgot to ask you.
Yeah, yesterday I recorded an episode of the Kill You Last podcast.
Yes.
With Peter and Alex, and we had them on last week or 2 weeks ago here. And we talked about my favorite 80s action film.
Action.
Which is Sly Stallone's Staying Alive, featuring John Travolta. We did our Mystery Morning 3000 theater, Mystery Morning Theater 3000 episode of that several months ago. God, it feels like a lifetime ago.
Really?
It's probably our most downloaded and watched episode of this show.
Because I kind of remember us having a meeting where we were being threatened that we were going to lose our jobs after that.
I don't remember that.
It was the most downloaded.
I don't remember that.
Downloaded, getting fired.
But it was a lot of fun.
It was great.
I really felt like it should be coming out tomorrow, so check that out on iTunes. And I feel like I'm doing the good work.
By
I do. Of like trying to get more and more people to watch this. Even if you hate it, which Alex did, even if you hate it, you still, there's some joy in it because it's like, I can't believe how awful this is. I'm in disbelief. I'm in awe. It's awesome. It's like it goes in that trajectory of thought.
Well, I have to give you this. The first time I'd seen it all the way through was with you when we did our program. And as god-awful as it is, I couldn't look away. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was bored. Bored is not the word.
No.
It wasn't, and I don't like the cliche, it's like watching a train wreck. It was more like a terrorist attack. More like some sort of nuclear disaster. But it was, you couldn't look away. You could not look away. And I had forgotten that his coat from the first one makes a cameo in that. He wears the old suit. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he 85s it. I think he wears like a pink, a blue
like
shirt.
A baby
like a Don
blue
Johnson
shirt
thing.
Underneath.
Yeah.
No collar.
Oh, man. That movie existed. Thanks, Sylvester Stallone.
Anyway, so check it out. We don't like, we just talk about it. It's not like you're listening to us watch it like our show.
Mm.
You can also download that one. It's
I don't know if they whitewashed it from our website, but if not, it
I
should be.
I certainly hope not.
I bet. We worked very hard on that. Well, what were some takeaways from it? Did you feel like you were convincing them that sort of changed their mind on it?
Not only that, I'm trying to convince them that John Travolta isn't gay. We spent a lot of time with them, you know, making the case for his homosexuality, to which I vehemently denied.
What dream world do you live in, woman?
No, but on their podcast, they love Stallone. So we did talk a lot about that.
Sure.
Peter was saying how he just assumed this was Stallone's like first go at directing. But he realized he directed this after Rocky III. But to be fair, I think that he took a lot of Rocky III and used it in this film. The montages, you know, there's a lot of the same, I guess, movie tropes.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. I sound like a movie buff. A trope.
I don't know why you have to talk like that.
But yeah, no, it's a really great episode and you should give it a listen. And those guys are so funny. So check it out.
I can't wait. It's times like this. I wish podcasts were live.
By the way, they did say that your Lethal Weapon episode was like one of the most downloaded.
Really?
So I said, I have to beat Bill.
God damn it. Well, I hate, as much as I'd like to take credit for that, Lethal Weapon is a bit of a popular movie. Create a lot of things, stuff like that.
Sure,
you may have a handicap with those Staying Alive if you're trying to go after record.
It needs to be marketed.
Were there any visuals in this? Yeah, and that's true too. Actually, you know what? You should tell them when they do the title for the podcast, it should be like in all block letters, Stallone's Staying Alive, you know? Like one of those things to like get people's attention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I can't wait to listen to it. Where did you tape it at Alex's place?
No, at Peter's in East Harlem. Different world up there.
Somebody was
people
too drunk.
People should download it today because there's not many downloads left. So get it today.
Yeah, thank you, Garrett. Quick, before it's all downloaded.
Uh-huh.
You can't get any more.
Somebody's paid attention to Joanne's Promotional Styles 101 class. God, I'm not good with my words today. Well, that sounds like it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
We'll download it the minute it comes out. Anything else? You going to be talking about any other shitty movies tonight?
No.
I'm trying to think if there's another one that you like that's really bad.
Oh, no, but you know what I want to see? There's a new movie out called Yesterday, and it's about something happens to the world and everyone forgets that the Beatles existed.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Except this one guy. Yeah, so I just saw a trailer for it for the first time, and I now really want to see it. It looks really funny.
So the whole point is that he's just going to plagiarize the Beatles because no one's ever heard of them and become a millionaire?
He feels kind of guilty, and yet no one's heard about it. And now he's becoming so famous, Ed Sheeran's like knocking on his door. He's like, what is this?
That's actually not a bad idea. I'll check that one out. And I remain on the fence as far as the Joker's concerned. Literally on the fence because I like the fill of wood betwixt my buttocks.
Okay, let's get
guests
in.
You think about that. One of our old favorites, Matt Welsh. He is the editor-at-large at Reason Magazine's LA Times opinion writer and the co-host of We the Fifth. Great podcast. I love it so. another returning champion, Josh Carter. Welcome back, Josh. Are things up and running show-wise at the stand? Oh, and look at her. She actually showed up.
Yes.
Karen Feehan, guys. You're still hosting Stand Up and Take Your Clothes Off,
yes?
This
Sunday.
And today she dressed up like a 45-year-old mother. But other than that, she will be... I don't know. That's the kind of stuff my mom wears when she washes her program.
I'm sorry. Have you been to the Hamptons?
Thank you, Joe.
I liked the white pants. You guys, thank you so much for coming.
What's up with this
now
hair?
You say thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
For having us.
No manners.
Why are you not taking enough credit for Paradise Alley, the Sylvester Stallone pre-Rocky directed. He plays a con man. He's like, he does like a wrestling.
John Travolta wasn't in it. It's not for me.
No. Yeah, there's no man diaper in Paradise Alley.
Oh, you are really barking up the wrong tree with Travolta. I cannot emphasize that enough.
I love that man.
I know that she's trying to convince herself that he's straight.
I mean,
after watching Staying Alive, that's not possible.
In a baseball cap.
Does it really matter? Like, I'm not actually gonna ever be with him, so let me just have my fantasy.
Yeah.
If there was a can, I'd kick it. I know Joe is very interested in talking about Joe, you narcissist.
Yes, I really want to talk about Joe Biden. We haven't yet on this
Twitter
show. And so I keep getting, on my phone, I get alerts from both the Huffington Post and Fox News because I like to keep it truly fair and balanced.
Right.
And the sensationalist headlines from Huffington Post is actually incredible.
Yeah.
Women have come forward about allegations of inappropriate touching or physical closeness.
Hair sniffing.
I know my clits are on my shoulders, too. I get it.
Yeah, right?
Wait, is that possible?
Garrett, see if you can look that up. Rub counterclockwise, Joe. People were, I guess, some of the public, wanting him to apologize. Well, he came out yesterday with a statement that says he'll be more aware of how close he gets to people and people's personal space. Well, that was not enough for the Huffington Post.
No.
And they're saying he wouldn't apologize. Then they come out with, and I had to take a screenshot of this.
And you can screenshot on that thing, too? Jesus,
I know.
Stop putting it on air.
In 1977, the only Senate Judiciary Committee member to vote against two black DOJ nominees wasn't Strom Thurmond or Robert Byrd. It was Joe Biden. Suddenly, he's a racist. He's every awful.
One of his presidents is the only black dude in office. He's like, I want to be the only vice to a black dude of all time. So I'm gonna vote against.
Do we have the Twitter apology of America's uncle?
In the coming month, I expect to be talking to you about a whole lot of issues, and I'll always be direct.
Jokerish.
Today, I want to talk about gestures of support and encouragement that I've made to women and some men that have made them uncomfortable. And I always try to be in my career. I've always tried to make a human connection. That's my responsibility, I think. I shake hands, I hug people, I grab men and women by the shoulders and say, you can do this.
His aides definitely said, you got to say men and women.
Women, men, young, old. It's the way I've always been. It's the way I've tried to show I care about them and I'm listening. And over the years, knowing what I've been through, the things that I've faced, I've found that scores, if not hundreds of people have come up to me and reached out for solace and comfort. Something.
I guess
something
we get that
anything.
Idea. Yeah.
Now we get. Now. Yeah, now I feel like.
Like I didn't want to touch. I didn't even want to touch all these black people. They just kept reaching out for me. I couldn't help it.
Matt, do you think that this was enough? I mean, he obviously had to address it, but do you think he should have issued an apology, or was it smart of him not to?
I just want to express my sympathy for you by sniffing your hair. Is that fine before we...
It smells delicious.
I mean, lady hair is
should.
Good, when, especially when it's washed. This is like the 12th apology he's already done, and he hasn't even announced that he's running, and you know, in fact, might not do it. He's got... This is my prediction from today. He will be apologizing by the end of, I don't know, a week or 10 days from now for a clip from 1991 in which he says he brags about like expanding the death penalty, having we're putting up it on reason.com this morning if it doesn't
come for
it. Expanding the death penalty, having mandatory minimums for everybody, and like you know locking up Mexicans or something like that. It was just like
expanding the death penalty, like making the chair bigger.
Yeah.
Obesity was a growing epidemic back then.
The third was a civil asset forfeiture. That's where the cops steal your stuff even if you haven't done anything wrong or they're not charging with these things. He has been on the side of so many policies that in my mind are bad, but also in the modern Democratic Party are like no-fly zones that he's just going to have to ritually apologize. And at some point, like, you're going to have the Johnny Apologetic hair sniffer guy running up against grab him by the pussy. I'm not going to apologize for anything. Go fuck yourself. It doesn't seem logical.
Making him look like a Democrats sissy.
If he apologizes, he's just out. I think if he apologizes, that admits that he did something wrong.
Yeah.
Like, if he doesn't apologize, there's a debate whether if he did something wrong. Because what he did is, like, what, like, my uncle's wife's father used to do to me at Thanksgiving. I would just know to avoid if I didn't, like, make the whole family hate the guy just because he touched my shoulder, you know?
Oh, was he, like, creepily?
He was, like, the same kind of way, but it's not, I don't think it's a sexual thing. I just think, like, as you get older and away from life, you want to get closer to life.
Well, also.
Not, like, in a sexual way.
Also,
sucking in their life force.
That's always been my theory. Maybe I watched too many sci-fi movies from the 80s.
But also,
like, hair-plugged vampires.
Yeah, makes sense.
Karen, I think it also depends on, like, the home you grew up in, right? Like, you obviously grew up in a naked home.
Broken home.
Okay. I did not, so I usually always wear my clothes.
Right.
No, but you know how there's some people who are just, like, touchy? I have friends like that. They're always, you know, reaching out. My parents don't hug me often.
Right.
I'm not a huge physical affection person.
Yeah, my mom teaches, like, special ed, and so she would, like, tell the kids, like, there's, like, a 5-foot bubble around Mrs. Fian. Like, don't touch me.
No one wants to pop a bubble.
That's all they want.
It pops.
That's all they want.
Captain Callback, but wasn't John Travolta in The Boy in the Bubble?
One-handed clap push.
Put that on my reel.
I always think of special ed teachers giving hugs to all the kids, too. Yeah. I guess not.
No, well, I'm sure
not my mom. She was, like, teaching them boundaries very early.
Did that work?
For my mom, yeah. They never touched her.
Really?
Yeah.
If you force an imagination thing on them, boy, I can't talk today, they'll actually adhere to it.
Right.
Like, if you just say, like, there's like a
right,
fence.
There's a bubble. Look, like, there's a fence. Yeah.
So I want to dive deeper into the idea of, like, the political party business of this. When I first heard these allegations, I immediately thought someone, like the DNC or someone, doesn't want Biden
to run.
Yeah. Oh,
gotcha.
But, like, what is the benefit? Because I'm just seeing now a huge crumbling of the left and a re-election for Trump if this keeps happening, like fighting within.
Right.
Well,
what was their ultimate hope from this?
Remember that last time around, there wasn't a competitive Democratic fight. We remember it as competitive because Bernie Sanders ended up challenging Hillary Clinton, but she swept the leg of just everyone, including Joe Biden, Wayne and Elizabeth Warren, way in advance. She doesn't like competition. So it was just basically barky old socialist against Hillary Clinton, and the people who didn't like there to be a coronation went to the guy who they might not have necessarily believed everything that he said, but they believed that he believed it, and that seemed more authentic than Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Mm.
So the Democrats are like, screw it, we're going to have a competitive primary this time around. And a competitive primary means it's a competitive primary. And those of us who've been following Me Too and using words that some people receive as loaded, like weaponized things, Me Too accusations, this is actually what we're seeing. This is a weaponized accusation against Joe Biden. Why did it come up this week? Of all weeks. He's been around for 77 years.
No,
why
no.
this week? Exactly. And it's 2 on the first day, and then it's like 2 on the second day. You think it's going to end at 4? Hell no. There's 11 other candidates running. It's going to end at like 23, and it's going to be a drip, drip, drip designed to sweep the leg, to get him from not running, because he has the largest poll ratings of anyone out there with the just a little bit above Bernie.
You'll know everyone he's been within 3 feet of by the end of the week.
God, anyone close enough to see one of those?
Now, I also feel like if you're uncomfortable, and Karen, maybe I'm just someone who speaks up a lot, and I think you're kind of the same way too.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But, you know, there are ways to dodge and there are ways to deflect physical contact if you don't want it. I also get in a lot of these, you know, you're with the vice president, oftentimes in the White House, and you're posing for a photo. And you do see some of these women like inching away. But you could kindly take someone's hand off of your shoulder. I get that he's the vice president, but I think my biggest issue with all this is when it comes to power, when it's person to person, you should think you are of an equal to a vice president when it comes to your own
body
comfort level. You know?
Yeah.
So isn't that like a message or a takeaway? We haven't even been hearing people say that.
I met Bill Clinton once and he sort of grazed my ass when we were taking a picture and I was like, do it again. But yeah, totally. I mean, if you're uncomfortable, just give fucking Grandpa Joe a good rib elbow. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to survive
Do it in a
that.
Jokey way. He loves jokes, but literally break his rib.
Literally break his rib, yes. You're old.
That whole power aphrodisiac thing is absolutely true. I had a girlfriend that was a photographer on a Bill Clinton press day to Africa or something like that. And they did something that, by the way, it's such a terrible term when you think about Bill Clinton. It's called a press spray. Where they just sort of meet the entire press and he goes down and shakes all their hands.
Wow.
And to a T, didn't even hide it. And it was almost as if it was a power play. Every single woman, Bill Clinton just sits there and looks straight at their tits.
Cleavage,
And she and her, the reporter were like, did he just check out our tits? She's like, absolutely. But the other thing was...
Shame on women for having tits.
They did, yeah, exactly. It's their fault. I believe it was push-up. Could be wrong.
Well, Karen, you've been looking, you've been looking at bulges for a decade.
I really have.
To fight back.
I really have.
I'm a bulge watcher. The thing that was struck me wasn't that Bill Clinton did that, but was also that they really didn't seem to care.
Right.
I mean, I guess it was that Bill Clinton
Sometimes
charisma.
Sometimes things happen so fast that it's only in retrospect that you can really, like, kind of come to grips with it. Like, I've had guys, like, after shows, like, grab my ass, like, smack my ass, and it hasn't been until the next day where I was like, fuck, I wish I kind of, like, sack whapped that guy on my way out.
There's the stunt
factor. Tit for tat. Yeah.
Josh, when was the last time someone grabbed your ass?
His uncle.
Not since last year.
Yeah, with the uncle.
Actually, one time, I did have a comedy booker grab my butt. It was like not in New York.
Male or female?
Male. Like old
dude. Oh, it's always the dude.
But if that happened to me once in 10 years, I feel real terrible for someone like Karen.
Yeah.
What I've never understood is like...
I'm asking for it, though.
What is the expectation of the butt grab?
Yeah, the end game.
To get me to get a boner?
Do people think that, I really like this strange hand on my butt? Like,
yeah.
That's a fun thing.
I mean, I'm not taking booty blast 4 times a week for nothing, but...
Yeah.
But, no, don't grab my butt.
The product until you buy it. That's what I'm saying.
At least buy it dinner.
Thank you. Just picturing just your butt eating dinner now.
Chomp.
Speaking of women just having it hard in this crazy workaday world.
Oh, yeah.
I love
this story. Okay, Sophie Turner. You might have heard of the show Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's not that popular.
I believe the fans call it GOT.
This title is great from the Huffington Post, again, where I get all my news.
You are really slamming the Huffington
Post. She is surprisingly okay with Kit Harington making more money than her. So she revealed, it was in an interview with Harper's Bazaar. She said that her Game of Thrones co-star makes more money than her, and she's okay with it because he had a bigger storyline in that season. And for the last series, he had something like 70 night shoots, and I didn't have that many. I was like, you know what? You keep that money. She said that demanding equal pay can get a little tricky simply because actors don't always do the same job, which is totally true. But I do think a nice thing that she does in her writers when she in her contracts, when she accepts a job, she does want equal representation on the crew. So she will say, I'll only work on sets that have like 50% women and 50% men, which I think is commendable and really great because there are both sexes in that industry.
Grips.
Thank you. Yes. Key grip.
What is a key grip?
Are there lady grips?
There are, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is a key grip?
Because some only do tape.
Right. Okay.
Some don't actually lift stuff.
Gaffer.
Oh, God. That
Gaffer.
Makes me sound sexist. Gaffer, exactly.
What's a best boy? I never knew what that one was either.
A best boy?
Yeah, that's like a thing, isn't it? Like in the credits, isn't there a best boy?
I don't know what they do.
It's great.
They're the best on set.
Yeah, they're just, ugh, when it comes to being a boy.
They're the best dressed.
So
that's who they used to send into Michael Jackson's trailer back.
All the other ones were rejected.
I want to start with the woman on the panel, Bill.
How dare you.
Are you, should she be okay with this? Maybe she did less work, but she's more beautiful.
I mean, isn't that like billing? Isn't it just like who's the top, he's higher billed. I really know my Hollywood terms. He's like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is going to be making a lot more money than I didn't even see another actor in that Joker trailer.
There you go.
So I don't know necessarily, does this have anything to do with gender or does it all have to do with gender?
Well, so some examples they brought up were recently, wasn't it like Jennifer Lawrence when she was in a film with Bradley Cooper and he was making more than her, and when it is actors of similar status. But I really think it's more, Josh, about your agents. Like, have the agents get more money for you.
Well, Jennifer Lawrence wasn't the Jennifer Lawrence, and that was for American Hustle, where Jennifer Lawrence was like a side character, and Bradley Cooper was like the main character.
Yeah.
Like, Bradley Cooper was like nominated for Best Actor, and she was Best Supporting Actress, so of course one's going to make more than the other.
Yeah. And also, how do they find out? Do they have conversations with each other? Is this the only industry where people sit down and they're like, how many million did you make?
Right. Also sports.
I presume since the people have like complicated points deals, right, you need to see a breakdown of the budget and what everything's being spent on. So that
Oh, true.
That way, right?
I see, yeah.
I mean, I'm totally speculating here. But yeah, I don't we live in this world where everyone is accepting this kind of fiction that women make 77 cents on every dollar that
I think
that
it's
men
80
make.
Now.
It's 80. Okay. It's
actually a little positive.
Look at that.
I watched the Today Show.
Every time that people who are serious about like social science and economics look at this, that number is nonsensical. It when you compare apples to apples and you also correct for time lost parenting by women, because they take a disproportionate shoulder, not just of childbirth, but of rearing. That accounts.
You never rear a child.
No.
Unless they're eating.
Eve Neverland.
Unless they're eating with their butt. Then suddenly it goes to like 96 cents, 97 cents, right? And you would think Jennifer Lawrence has a not insubstantial amount of bargaining power, because there's only so many Jennifer Lawrences there. She can open movies.
Totally.
Almost
there's
nobody.
There's only one.
Well, I'm not so sure, but we're all like so panicked about this thing. I think inclusion writers are kind of a better way to go. But what's her face said at I think it was the Academy Awards, the Golden Globes a few years ago, the Coen brothers' wife. That's a terrible way of putting it. Frances McDormand.
McDormand.
No, who's a marvelous actor, but she said like, you know, if you want to do something, inclusion writers is the way to go. That might be a little bit heavy-handed too. I'm not sure that every single gaffer needs to be split between the genders, but I think that's more productive than constantly like chasing this desire to have mandates to erase a 3 to 4 cent difference.
Yeah, well, and also Karen, it's self-serving. You know what I mean? It's like a woman who's already making millions of dollars saying it's hard to relate to.
Right.
You know, like they think they're fighting the good fight, but the reality is there's women who are making maybe $40,000 a year, and the only raise they would get.
What job is that?
42,000.
Richie,
you have an office job.
No, I just got a 12:00 meeting added to my calendar. I have to go. I think that I'm proud of that girl for sort of, because I think that with all the Me Too shit, she could have been swept up with like, yeah, give me the same amount of money, like Sophie Turner. I think it's cool that she was honest and like, listen, he's working harder, he deserves more money. Like, end of story. Like, I think pragmatism goes a long way. Like, just being honest and authentic. Like, I don't
How
know.
How does it work in comedy? I mean, do you
suck dick for half the amount of money.
Well, but I mean, here's the headliner, and so he or she is going to make more money. But like, do you know how you're being paid in relation to everyone else? And is there like a pecking order?
Yeah, comics are pretty transparent with their shit.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not a lot of money, so that's what not a lot of money to argue over.
If you open for Rich Voss, he will tip you.
Really?
He's a good tipper.
Josh is like, he never tipped me.
I never opened for him, so
every dollar's covered in self tanner. Do you ever find out, have either of you actually seen a woman getting paid less than a guy for her, even though they're pretty much on the same.
I'm sure, like, it happens.
She sucks. Like, what if she sucks?
No, I'm sure it happens.
I don't think that
I've
the
opened...
talent matters about how much you get paid. It's like what spot you got booked for.
Right. Mm.
But I'm sure it happens because I've opened for, you know, female headliners. And first of all, a lot of times they say they don't want two women. Like, a lot of times you'll see female headliners bring a guy opener. Yeah. But I've opened for female headliners and I've seen them deal with male bookers in a far different fashion than they've dealt with guys. Like, just from like a respect angle.
Yeah.
Like, they've just sort of haven't been as, what do you need, this and that, or like, I got brought to open for somebody once and they put like three other people on the lineup and she was like, what the fuck? Like, I brought, this is my opener. I don't want these other people. Who are they? You know? And they just, it was just like a lack of respect thing. But I don't know, when it comes down to the money, yeah, I'm sure they get offered a little bit less, but that, I mean, what I've learned is just ask for more than they offer and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of like comedy money is based on like what the headliner negotiates also with each booker from wherever.
Yeah, true. That makes sense, too.
So that's why Rich Voss tips you, because
he knows he's making way more.
Paying me too much.
I know, he really is.
Let me pass it forward.
From women not getting salary to men not getting sex. See? Mm. That's a seg right there. Kind of.
Alliteration.
Thanks. Yeah. Sure. No segue. Fuck you guys.
From what women want to what men really want.
All right, that's better. God damn it, she gets it. A new general social survey shows Americans are having much less sex than younger men are. And younger men are partly the cause. The 2018 survey says nearly one in four adults had no sex over the past year. Ugh.
Really?
Yeah. Never met them.
I'm making up for all. Dang it, four
and that's
guys.
An all-time high. America's aging population played a role since roughly 50% of 60 and overs have no sex. And their share of the population has risen from 18% to 26%. Last year. Quote, there are more people in their 20s who don't have a live-in partner, says the person who wrote a book on younger generations not having sex stuff. So under those circumstances, I think sex is going to happen less frequently. It could be worse. 43% of people ages 18 to 34 in Japan are virgins.
Good.
what was the percentage on that?
43% of people age 18 to 34 in Japan are virgins. 43%.
It's almost half. Wow. Yeah, there's like a big
sniffing panties. 18 to what? 43?
18 to 34. It's a big problem. They've got all these dating classes there now. Like, nobody's
they're all fucking
dating.
Sex robots over there.
No, you're not wrong. Yeah. I mean, their sex industry is so fucked up that it's turned them all into
they're
sexless.
Also, like, just... It's just such a crowded city, and they're all, like, just walking. They all are
walking androgynous. Around with their bad teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
You really touched a
Like, if everyone, in Japan is just, like, all the same race, you know, they all probably have the same background. It's probably boring.
They also, like, they pack themselves like sardines into their little subway cars and molest the hell out of each other there, but they don't actually go on dates. Like, they've got, like, all-women cars there for that reason.
Yeah. Really?
Because they're so bad at that,
Didn't they do it in a water park, too? They, like, humped a bunch of chicks in, like, the lazy river.
That sounds about
not so lazy.
Have you seen Tom Green Goes to Tokyo?
No.
That's an awesome special. No, but he lays on the ground in the subway station.
Well, actually, to show how clean it was?
No, because it's so crowded. Like, it's like the most crowded place in the world. It's like the Tokyo.
Yeah.
And he's just being an idiot.
Well, not to mention the fact that he must have been a Sasquatch compared to the rest of the population over there. Karen, what do you make of this? Is it obvious to you that people are just not having sex, or is this just a fun study that really means nothing?
I don't know where that study was taken. I'm sleeping with four different people right now. I can't keep up. I don't know what to do.
Request permission to love you, Karen. You're the real hero. Maybe you're single.
Don't know what to do.
Three of them are watching right now.
I know. They might be. Oh, my God. One of the guys, get this. He's not on Twitter. Oh, I love him.
I was going to say, that's fucking
great. Oh, my God.
I'm
like, I'm going to marry you. He's like, I just don't get it. I'm like, I love you so much. Tweets about other three boyfriends.
Yeah. Or he's just telling you he's not on Twitter.
I know. And he's like really spying on me. Either way, I mean, I like that too. That's like a real cuckold type thing. I brought a guy to a comedy show the other night and he like took a video of my set while I was talking about fucking this other guy I'm fucking. I was like, I love this.
Really?
And he got me these sneakers. I'm not supposed to tell anybody who got me these sneakers, though.
That's interesting. I feel like women get jealous, but men get more determined.
They do.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I'm one of four. That's, I got to knock these other guys out of the bracket. Absolutely. You know,
that's why you got to keep extras around so they can smell each other. They know the other one has just been
it's like
there.
Like dogs wanting to piss on you.
Absolutely.
They're just men who piss on you.
I'm not letting my girlfriend watch this shit.
You don't have a girlfriend.
I just like the.
So this girl, this girl's been in Mexico for the last 4 months, which is perfect. She hasn't seen the R. Kelly or Michael Jackson documentaries or heard of them.
Yeah, oh, that is great.
Yeah. That's God like damn. That's a, the equal of not being
not
on
being
Twitter.
Not being on Twitter.
Yeah. Is the R. Kelly Lifetime? Or was that a weird channel, I remember?
I think it was like, I actually don't even have access to see that one. I would watch that one, but Michael Jackson, I already know like the basic story and have already forgiven him for it. I don't need to see the details.
You are the real monster. I still can't.
No, you know who the real monsters are? It wasn't Michael Jackson. He's not even the predator. The predator were the parents. That's like that's like giving your kids the Harambe and then blaming the gorilla. He's not a logically thinking adult. You know, he looks, ever since he looked like Sandra Bullock, you can't treat him like a grown man.
Sandra. You know?
Actually, you are right.
You're totally right.
I mean, he had a fucked up life. He's not a functioning adult.
Throwing your kids into his. To Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Wow. Changes everything.
Wait, yeah, Wade's mom really went like full throttle 80s. Like, she was living the dream. She really
got. Also couldn't stop smiling.
Right. She is loving it. She's like, oh, look at my little Wade getting his butthole licked. I love MJ. Dance, Wade. Dance for Michael.
I love speaking ill of the dead.
Hey, I'm defending him.
I know. It's like it. We've got both sides of this now. I love that there's sides on this. Matt, you got any thoughts on this apart from, I guess, the overall being Japanese people are all weird?
Yeah, that's
that usually always, is a theme for these shows.
Always been true, but. Some skepticism of the study that's been out there. A couple of social scientists have said we might be leaping to conclusions. However, anecdotally, I know people who employ 20-somethings in Portland, and they're like, all the chicks are like, dudes don't want to have sex. Like, my boyfriend, who is 25, doesn't want to have sex with me.
Because he's having sex with me.
You've got one in every city, Karen.
Every age bracket.
Is that a porn thing?
Who knows?
Or pills. Yeah.
It could be porn pills. It could be
antidepressants, for sure.
Video games. It could be, just slothful. I mean, you don't. Dudes who work are going to be having more sex than dudes who don't work. Like, dudes who work to have a little bit more like self-respect and
confidence
and money, which is not
so
the worst thing in the world.
So you're just around other people.
You're around
right.
other people.
You meet people who have working body parts.
Yeah.
And
I don't know why you had to talk like that.
Spell it out.
Teenagers don't have jobs anymore. You don't, like, there's a lot of people who arrive in the world at age 25 having never worked a day in their life. And, you know, they're sort of like kicking around through school, and maybe they do a bit of stuff at a coffee shop or something, but they don't know how to do it.
I started mopping floors at 16. Yeah. Guess what? I'm still mopping floors.
I started
Most
working.
Don't graduate.
That's because Bill can't hold his bladder.
True.
Clean up on aisle Joe.
Not again.
It's all very waterproof. Well, what do you think of this? Do you think this is another bullshit study from Bullshit Studies R Us?
I feel like it's probably kind of always been that way, but now we've just decided to make studies about it, or like more people are being honest about it. Like, it's also a matter of who's telling the truth. Like, are you in the bedroom with someone as they not have sex? Like, I feel like any results can kind of be skewed because of just human error, meaning human lying.
Right.
I mean, who told the truth if you were a late teenage boy about whether you'd had sex or not?
Right. Yeah.
Nobody. You would just lie your face off.
Maybe the number's even larger than 43% haven't.
Yeah.
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 Who's like, I'm a proud virgin.
Right.
Maybe in Japan.
I was like, my hymen says differently.
hey, remember me?
That is a great hymen impression. Oh my God, I felt I was there with the hymen.
Righty ho.
That was amazing.
Your hymen.
Sounds like Mickey Mouse.
Interesting. Oh, so adorable. Okay. This was very much a you story. Tell us about your.
Oh yeah.
Exercise.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Really?
Exercise officially makes you happier than money.
I don't know.
According to Yale and Oxford research, researchers at Yale and Oxford may have proven exercise is more important to your mental health than economic status. They found that while those who exercise regularly tend to feel bad for around 35 days a year, those who were non-active felt bad 18 days more on average. So you still feel shitty, just not as often.
Right.
They also noticed that certain sports that involve socializing can have more of a positive effect on your mental health than others. I go to Karen first because this bitch is always spinning in exercise class, posting that. Yesterday you won a class with a new partner.
I won her. I won
her. It didn't happen.
I walked in there and it was like they said, it was like a boot camp class. And I got there right when the class started and I'd missed half the instructions. And I'm looking around at like, all like somebody help me. And nobody would help me except this one hot chick. And I was like, hey, babe, can I follow you around? And then we just did all the exercises together and we won.
Well, you are in amazing physical shape, but you seem miserable.
Thank
you. So what do you say about this study?
Well, that's just sort of my, you know, attitude towards others. Yeah, it's sort of like a more of a condescension thing than like I'm actually in a bad mood. I'm just surrounded by slobs, and I think I should be able to tell them how disgusting they are at any given point.
Tough love, baby.
But as far as the money thing is concerned, I'm happiest when I'm leaving the gym and my direct deposit hits. Like that's the moment.
Yeah. Totally.
And I'm like, everything's in line.
So, like, you need some money to take those classes.
Right. No.
You
know, Equinox, like, my Equinox membership is $205 a month. If anyone wants to Venmo me that,
holy
shit. I would really appreciate
it. For a good cause.
It is. I usually do make it back in, like,
if anyone wants to Venmo me, Planet Fitness, only $10 a month.
Shut up.
Yeah, I sprung for the 20.
Anyone want to meet me at the YMCA after the show? Great. Great showers.
I mean, I'll meet you there, too, but that's going to run you $1,000.
Bad negotiation.
Yeah. Of course we're happier.
Josh,
but are you happier exercising or happier with a little cash in the wallet?
It depends how much money we're talking about, I think. I think exercise, it's true. It does make you a little less depressed. I'm someone who's like a binge moneymaker and exerciser. Like, I'll go, like, just sitting at home, like, writing or doing whatever and not, like, really working or exercising. But then, like, once you get into that habit again of either one, you kind of feel good. But I could definitely compare them. For me, I just get a lot better if I, like, rent an apartment to someone or do, like, some kind of real estate deal. That feels a lot better than working out for, like, an hour.
I think what you're saying, it goes to the idea of, like, a sense of accomplishment, right? So after you work out, yeah, there's a physical thing, like the endorphins and hormones and all of that firing off.
But like
you said, if you just wrote like a ton of new jokes or a new set, that also feels really good.
Actually, that feels like actually you're right, because that does, like, writing a new 10 minutes and having it do really well feels better to me than making
it was a
like,
mental workout.
Like renting an expensive apartment.
Yeah. How did you feel when you grabbed that chain out of that claw machine?
That's great.
I have to go.
I
love you guys. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Karen had to leave a little early today. Thank you so much, sweetheart. That was great.
She is a national treasure.
Well, we got time for one more.
Wait. No, I want to ask Matt, because you probably have the most money of all of us on this panel.
Oh, by far.
Would you give it all up for workout classes every day?
No.
You almost killed yourself doing push-ups, so.
I know, and I haven't gotten back on the bike since then. But, that's the thing. Money doesn't ease the anxiety, and especially we all live in New York. It's in the area, and it's expensive as hell here. You can actually make a lot more money than I do and feel poor, or feel like you're just like scraping every month. I think about it in terms of I can't stop thinking about staying alive because you opened the show with it.
That's great. You're making her day.
No, there's a great scene.
Changing the world.
there's the Sly Stallone cameo scene.
Yes,
right? So
that was his Hitchcock
Travolta, and because I think about this every day, and this is all going to loop back.
Are we best friends?
Do you realize she's getting the vapors right now? This is
Hyman. So, John Travolta, who's gay? He's got baby oil on.
Tell
his
me about him. Tell me about him.
Diaper,
gay. But, yeah, tell me about John Travolta.
He's walking down the street. And he is just strutting.
Strutting.
he's got like the best. I mean, he's strutting because he's gotten into wicked great shape for this movie, and he's strutting down the street in this great sort of New York scene, sidewalk, super crowded, but it's sort of a little bit downhill, so that it seems like 1,000 people, and he's just like, I am in Manhattan, I rule the world, and Sly Stallone is like in a fur coat,
yes,
like aviators, yep, and like gives him a shoulder, and then like turns around and this kind of stuff. But I think about the way that Travolta struts, because we all walk every single day, and when do you feel good when you're walking every single day? It's, you know, when you've been doing some core work. It's when, it's when, like, the back doesn't feel creaky. It's like I feel a little bit erect.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of carriage.
Whenever I think of John Travolta, I get erect.
Super erect. And like
working up the wrong tree.
You have to. You're going to walk every day, no matter what. So you'd rather walk like John Travolta. You will feel better about doing the things that make money in order to.
There we go. Oh no, this is Saturday Night Fever, different movie, but I do appreciate you for this clip.
My favorite role is Vincent Vega.
Or
Chili Palmer. I like his gangster roles.
You have the heroin dissipated strut in that one. That is, no one walks like that, but it's great. I wish I could get away with that.
Do you know why I love it? Because there isn't this sense of urgency. Do you know in New York, everyone's walking to get someplace. He's like, I'm walking because I'm on display.
That ass, too.
God,
you must work out.
You are just speaking my language.
I mean, you know, in mass defense, you could bounce a quarter off that fucking ass. That is impeccable.
Too, my God.
Do we have? I know it's actually readily available on YouTube. Do we have the Sylvester Stallone cameo in Staying Alive? It's blink and you'll miss it. But it's like there's so much going on in that 2 seconds of film. It's the ego of Stallone. It's him thinking he's Hitchcock by keep doing a cameo in one of his own movies. And then there's the coat.
I saw that garbage in the theater. I mean, it's really one of the worst.
You saw it in the theater? That's amazing. Here we go.
So good.
I wonder how many times they filmed that. Oh, so great. Aviator shades. It looks like he killed a gorilla for that coat. Oh,
I just want to. How many blow dryers were employed for that? That's what the best boy is. You got to be able to use a blow dryer.
There was that sort of, although I guess I shouldn't talk, but there was that sort of like giant feathered mane thing that was going on in the mid-80s.
It was a hair helmet.
And it was in the 70s because there was like more product involved.
It was like Mark Gastineau, you know?
But I also feel like if there was a police lineup and a woman was like, I only saw him from behind, and then you had everyone's hair, you'd be like, I can't pick them apart.
They look exactly the same.
Like Stallone's hair looked just like his from the back.
Yeah. Oh, completely. They had the same personal trainers as we saw from that Geraldo special report on
Stallone. Yes, Stallone, I believe, helped train Travolta.
Goddamn right he did. His abs had abs.
But, he was making a lot of money to do that film and working out like crazy. But I feel like there is a point where exercise does not make you happier. There was a study, I don't know if it was in this same one, where it said exercising too much, however, does not make you happy. They say between 3 to 5 days and you're good. But any more than that and it doesn't have the same effect. Mm. So, you know, I think about Mark Wahlberg, who is nuts and works out like crazy. He must not be happy. So then the money comes in to help you out with that.
He doesn't seem happy.
With that mental state. You're like, well, I'm miserable, but I have $1 million more dollars now.
Didn't Chris Pratt have a... I might be confused.
We covered this extensively.
Yes, for Jurassic Park, he's been on a crazy diet, and he used to do his.
He used to be kind of chubby.
Yeah, so he would do snack of the day on Instagram, where he would show people because he's so excited for his next meal, even though it's like disgusting and healthy. He would do snack of the day, snack of the day, and then he would show you it's like an egg white wrap, or like hummus and crudite, you know, and he's just like, this is all I'm allowed to eat, and I'm still starving.
Damn.
This sucks.
Well, also remember there was a religious bent to it, too, wasn't
there? He's still not Chris Hemsworth after all that.
He was then doing a fast based on the Bible.
Yeah, the Daniel, something like that.
One of the
Daniel fast or something.
I even think it was one of, like, the Old Testament people's fasts. I don't know.
Yeah, well, way to hate the Bible. You guys, thank you so much for coming. I'm sorry we didn't get to... I wanted to talk about Matt's latest column on the doom and gloom politics of this Democratic Party. But I will get you back ASAP so we can. We'll start with you, Josh. What do you got to plug or promote?
Beauty Bar this Friday. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I do love Beauty Bar.
14th between 2nd and 3rd. Yeah, come through if you want. Bring your lady or you could get a free manicure and a cocktail, but $10 manicure and a cocktail
can
combo.
Can she get a free manicure? And
I'll buy you one if you come out.
How much is the hepatitis?
30.
Great.
Do you really get, is that a thing? I've heard that before. Like people get manicure.
No, it's like maybe.
Did you get
him? It's like so slim. Like, I mean, you can get like infections or things, but I think hepatitis is.
Isn't a manicure just painting fingernails? How do you get hepatitis?
Depends if they cut a cuticle. Just ask for no cuticle cuts.
Eric
just nodded his head, which was weird. Like, he knows. Oh, yeah, no, never cut my cuticles.
I thought it was when they push down the cuticle or whatever, even. Not even cutting
it. It's a tool. Like... If it's broken skin.
Yeah.
Matt, what do you got after I'm already
I'm going on Bill Maher next
Friday. Oh, awesome. It's been a while. That's great. Yeah.
So go check it out.
I can't wait. That is badass. What do they put you up when you go and do that?
L'Hermitage. I'm not asking people to stalk me, but it's super fancy hotel. It's the only, they fly you out. First class. It's the only time I ever get first class.
Okay.
So you get the toe suck. You get everything there.
They suck your toes in first class?
Manny and petty. Oh, my God, dude.
I knew it!
You get so...
You could lie and we all would never know.
The class rage that you feel in addition to, the pleasure that you get.
Oh, God, yeah. Just, I always love the curtain. No, you don't have to look at this riffraff.
Are these Bose headphones good enough, or do you want the one that the pilot is using?
Oh, man.
It is.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but those cookies look like they've been preheated.
Oh, they're warm.
Ah!
Whenever I walk past first class, you know, if you have to walk past it to get to coach, I always look people right in the eye, like, help me. Just hoping will, send me a drink or, just remember me in the future.
So this is real time, not this Friday, not the following?
Yeah, April 12th.
Oh, I can't wait. I will definitely be watching that one. And remember out there, if it is mechanical air due to the lateness of your plane, you can get free drinks. They won't tell you. You have to ask. But that's usually across the board with every flight. That's a fun fact. Joe, let's go to your thingamabop. So brown.
Even if you haven't enjoyed all of our discussions about staying alive and John Travolta, you can hear even more by downloading the Kill You Last podcast, where I discuss the film. It should be out tomorrow. Only 10 downloads left. Thanks, Garrett.
Act now.
Don't want to miss it.